It's time for Football Friday with Bill Savage. Presented by Boyd's Royal Night on Government Boulevard in Mobile. Featuring $8 weekday lunch specials, analysis, and insights. The winners, the losers. Get ready for the weekend with Football Friday on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, and here we go. It is another Football Friday. And this one, y'all, I know we always say this one's a big one, but this one is a real big one to me. And it's always great to have our friend Phil Savage, General Manager of the AAF Alliance Arizona, the Arizona Hotshots, also analyst for Sirius Radio, NFL, ESPNU, the ACC, the SEC, host of the podcast Football Phil, I get the joke, Philosophy, and of course the author of Fourth and Goal Every Day, and our buddy and man about town, Phil Savage. Hey, man.
Guys, hope you're doing well this third Saturday in October.
I feel pretty good. I mean, I went through a review this morning of some of the pertinent facts. You're going to break down X's and O's with Dalton, but Phil, I pointed out to people about Tennessee some of my feelings that were detailed by Irving Carney back in 2007 about Tennessee, that they're low down, they're dirty, and there's some snitches. So that's really all I need to know.
And I was saying, Phil, that I think the University of Alabama actually owes Irving a lot, because when he filmed that video that's been viral for 11 years now, that was when Alabama was on a losing streak, actually, to Tennessee. Because the way this series has gone, Alabama, of course, has won the last 11 in a row. But when Irving made that film, and before Alabama's big winning streak, Tennessee had won 10 of the last 12. Now, I don't see a new streak starting tomorrow. But, you know, Tennessee did show a lot against Auburn last week. I guess we should start it off with this game, since that's how we've begun. Phil, what do you see happening, and do you see Tua Tagovailoa even suiting up tomorrow?
You know, I do think that Tua will play, and the reason I say that is because with Nick Saban, if you're up, that means you're available as far as practice and everything during the week. And to my knowledge, Tua has practiced, and he should be ready to go. And the other thing is that if Tennessee gets Jalen Hurts at quarterback for Alabama, they're going to load the box, and we're going to see basically the same game plan that Auburn and Georgia rolled out there last year, which would try to put the game on the arm of Jalen Hurts. And with Tua, they're not able to do that. So I feel confident that Tua will be on the field, and, you know, he's been a huge difference maker for the Tide so far. To me, he's worth about 3 touchdowns per game. I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
I think he's worth 3 touchdowns a game. I think Alabama would be undefeated right now, even if Jalen Hurts was the quarterback, but it would not have been as indominant a fashion as it's been so far this year. The other thing that's going to be going on, the game within the game, is that these two programs know each other quite well. The signal stealing and the idea of trying to see what's coming next on the following play is going to be at a premium in this game. So you're going to see poster boards and towels and covers and flags and everything else to try to block these coaches as they're signaling to the players what's going to happen on the next play.
It's so great for so many reasons to talk to you every Friday about this. So that's a real thing. You know, we talk about it sitting around the couch that's happening. That is a real thing, the signal stealing?
Oh, absolutely. If it's not a real thing, why do you see these coordinators surrounded by a battery of people with sheets and poster boards? And, you know, some teams will have 3 quarterbacks signaling. You know, one of them's live, the other two are dummies, not literally, but you know what I'm
sometimes
saying. It's absolutely a real thing. And obviously, with Jeremy Pruitt having been at Alabama on a couple of different occasions and serving in different roles, he knows the ins and outs and what Nick Saban and the staff typically, what some of their tendencies are, but also he'll know those signals. So I'm sure there will be some change-ups and some curveballs and some dummy signals thrown out there this weekend as well.
Well, that's where I was going to go with this next, Phil, with Jeremy Pruitt, of course, picking up his first big SEC win, putting that on his resume last week. Now, it's kind of a silly question at this point, because I think Nick Saban's, 15-0 or 14-0 against former assistants when he plays against them, and Pruitt, of course, was the defensive coordinator last year. But mindset-wise, coming into this game, nothing to do with the players, but actually giving the Tennessee Vols a little bit more confidence than maybe other teams that come in to play this stacked Alabama team. Do you think mindset-wise Tennessee will come in better having Pruitt or with Pruitt having coached for Alabama?
Well, Dalton, you watch Tennessee much closer than I do, but I thought a turning point for them was after the pitiful performance against Florida where they turned the ball over six times. Mm-hmm. The following game was against Georgia, and that game was on the brink of being another blowout. And Tennessee really responded the second half, and particularly in the fourth quarter, they really continued to fight. And to me, that was a turning point for their buy-in to Jeremy Pruitt, because then after the bye, they come back, they played extremely well against Auburn. Auburn helped, but Tennessee created some of those turnovers. And so, to me, this is a situation where they are going to compete. They're going to play very hard. They don't have the talent across the board to hang with Alabama. Could they make life uncomfortable for the Tides for a quarter and a half or maybe the first half? Perhaps they can. But this will be a rivalry much more closely competed in 2 years than it is right now. I'm expecting the Vols to be a much improved team once he's able to start doing a better job in recruiting and developing players. So they're going to be playing shorthanded tomorrow afternoon in Knoxville. But at the end of the day, I think this will be I think the first quarter and a half will be a precursor of things to come in this rivalry.
You know, we're talking about the espionage of the game, and I won't even ask if Butch Jones will get the game ball, but somebody on the text line has asked, hey, ask Phil, will Butch Jones be helpful to Alabama against Tennessee?
You know, I think Butch can help Alabama in terms of knowing some of the strengths and weaknesses of the personnel. Obviously, with Jeremy Pruitt going in there with his own staff, the signals and all that won't apply at all. But Butch certainly could give them some insight into the different players across the board, offensively and defensively. You know, what are the things that Jared Garantano, the quarterback, you know, what is he like? What does he not like? You know, Ty Chandler, the running back, you know, what are his strengths and weaknesses? I mean, they'll have a feel for that, but Butch can certainly give them some more insight into that regard. I think that, you know, again, it goes beyond Jeremy Pruitt. You got Kevin Shearer there. You got Mike Rumpf. Those are all former assistants. Chris Winkie. Those are all guys that spent time at Alabama. And again, you know, Tennessee will have as much intel on Alabama as the Tide does on the Vols.
Phil, the team that Tennessee beat last week, Auburn, tough times on the Plains right now. They've lost two in a row. Everyone's calling for head coach Gus Malzahn's head. But I thought the offense showed a little bit of promise a couple times last week. But, of course, Stidham's interceptions and that fumble that was returned for a touchdown really did them in the end. What do you think it takes tomorrow for it to be the end of the road for Stidham, for Auburn to start trying something a little different on offense, even if the other quarterbacks aren't as traditionally good as Jarrett Stidham is at the position? What they need to get the offense rolling, right?
You know, Dalton, I think we might see a dose of Malik Willis as a change-up to Stidham. You know, I mentioned to you guys last week that the Auburn offense, the centrifuge is their ability to run the ball, and a big piece of that is the quarterback run game. And that's really non-existent with Jarrett Stidham. It was non-existent with Chris Todd after, back at the very beginning during the Gene Chizik year when Chris Todd was the starter. It was non-existent when Jeremy Johnson tried to take over for Nick Marshall. But when Nick Marshall and Cam Newton were running this offense and they were viable threats as a runner, that offense took off. And so I think their problems start with the offensive line. It is hard and difficult to change personnel. You can't go get new players in the middle of the season. And so I think they're sort of stuck with what they have offensive line-wise. That puts a lot more pressure on Stidham and the receiving group because the run game just simply is not there. And I tell you, it might be there tomorrow against Ole Miss because we know how porous their defense is, but mm-hmm. This could be a real, you know, shootout kind of a game. We saw Ole Miss steal one at the end against Arkansas last Saturday night. I mean, they drove 97 yards in the last 2 minutes to beat Arkansas. And I think for Auburn to have a chance, honestly, you know, they've got to be able to to strike a balance between the run and the throw game. They haven't been able to do it against good defenses. Ole Miss is not a good defense, so perhaps there's a silver lining there, and they can get some forward movement with the football on the ground and through the air. But I think they're basically spinning their wheels right now through the rest of the year, because I don't see a lot of alternatives for them, because, again, you know, you're married to Jarrett Stidham as the transfer coming in via Baylor.
And they just signed Gus Malzahn to that extension in the offseason, but coming up, I mean, they have this Mississippi game, a bye, and then A&M, Texas A&M, then at Georgia, then Liberty, who just beat Troy, and then at Alabama to close the year. How long is the leash on Malzahn? I mean, what would it take for him to actually lose his job this year?
You know, I think it would take a lot. I mean, I think Auburn would have to go on a significant losing streak and probably miss out on a bowl game for that to really be a serious conversation. I think if they end up 6-6 or 7-5 and go to a bowl game, the powers to be would certainly, a new athletic director would give Gus Malzahn an off season to get things reorganized. But look, you know, last year people were calling for Malzahn's head. They went on a big win streak. He got a 7-year, $49 million contract. And, you know, it's the up-and-down nature and just the inconsistency, the emotional roller coaster that has become Auburn football. I think, you know, in the last 12 years, they've never put together two back-to-back double-digit win seasons. So it's definitely been an up-and-down sort of experience for Tiger fans. I think Gus Malzahn is safe for at least another year, because, look, even the major football powers like Auburn can't afford to pay out $35, $40 million to get out from underneath a contract like that.
And also, who would – I mean, just let's play the game for a second. Who would you get? Who's out there right now that you would get that would be better?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Gus has proven to be an Auburn man. He's had a lot of success there, and – you know, I have no idea who they think could come in there and be better. You know, again, I think it's way premature when you've got that amount of money still left on a contract that they would even be talking this way.
And I do want to wrap it up with the only top 25 SEC matchup tomorrow. Number 5-ranked LSU hosting number 22 Mississippi State. Both of those teams coming off of big wins, with LSU beating Georgia last Saturday, and then Mississippi State had the week off after beating Auburn. But LSU's schedule, I've never seen anything like it, Phil. 4 of their 7 games have been versus top 25 ranked teams. And then coming up, it looks like 3 of their final 5 games will be against ranked teams. It's got to be the hardest schedule in the league. Do you think they're able to consistently play well enough to beat these top teams?
You know, I think this is going to be a test of the overall maturity of the LSU program under Ed Orgeron. You know, everybody was down on them 2 weeks ago when they lost to Florida. Then they have a big-time bounce-back win against Georgia, where they really dominated the Bulldogs on both sides of the ball. And now you get a Mississippi State team coming in that beat LSU last year 37-7. And so we'll see if LSU shows up with their A game at home against an opponent that beat their pants off last year. And so, again, without looking ahead to a bye week and then Alabama on November the 3rd, I think this is more of a measuring stick game for LSU than last week's win against Georgia. I think if they go and play well against Mississippi State, then you can say, you know, this LSU team is for real. But if they flop around and or get upset by the Bulldogs, I think that we'll be having the same conversation. Well, Coach O is good, but he's not great as the head coach.
There it is. Phil, what are you going to be? Are you going to be in person watching a game this weekend?
You know, I am actually going to be home this weekend.
All right.
I'll watch some of it on television. I've got my SEC Today show later this afternoon. Of course, the hot shot, we got our schedule announced this week. We're opening with the Salt Lake City Stallions on February the 10th, and we have our first round of coaching meetings next weekend, so I'm trying to put our plans together to convene out in Phoenix next weekend.
And people have not, you know, we've talked about it now for weeks and weeks, but if they don't know what we're talking about with the AAF Alliance, I mean, talk about this. When this is, February is the continuation of football. We don't have to have a football hangover.
That's correct. The weekend after the Super Bowl, the Alliance will get started. We have four games per weekend. There's eight teams. And they're going to be slotted, Sean and Dalton, where you have a Saturday afternoon, a Saturday night time slot, and then two games, an early afternoon and a late afternoon on Sunday.
Awesome.
So that each game can get complete coverage either on CBS, CBS Sports Network, or the streaming element that will be part of the Alliance. It's going to be a lot of fun. I tell you, we've signed 70 players. I've got 84 spots basically committed. We've got 70 contracts filed away, ready to go. And, you know, as I said, we meet with our coaching staff led by Rick Neuheisel next weekend for a few days. Then we'll have an orientation camp in December. And then ultimately all eight teams go to San Antonio for training camp in early January, and the season starts for us February the 10th, for the rest of the league February the 9th.
There he is, GM of the Arizona Hotshots, and of course, football analyst extraordinaire and host of Football Philosophy, and also the author of Fourth and Goal Every Day, which makes a dandy, dandy Christmas gift if you want to get your shopping done early. You got any events coming up? Can we get some book signings here?
Sean, I've done a couple for some private companies here of late for lunches and that kind of thing, but you and I are going to get together at some point as the fall unfolds here, and I'd love to do something with you. So
good deal.
Nothing on the docket for public signings, but a couple things, you know, private, and I'm always open to that.
Very good. And we'll talk more about that coming up and give you all some details. Phil, as always, thank you, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Dalton. Hey, wear the orange with pride, but it's going to be 15-0 Nick Saban against his former assistants by tomorrow night.
I'm not expecting anything different, Phil.
Phil Savage of Football Friday.
You guys be good.
Will do. Will do. As always, what a pleasure talking to him. It's it's a kind of a big game tomorrow for Dalton and I. Although Dalton's not going to be, you're going to be at a wedding.
Yeah, so I'm getting as far away from you as possible tomorrow.
I'm going to be in Louisiana, so I don't know. Come back more on that. And yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about this book signing event. Maybe see y'all got some suggestions. We'll put it up and talk about it next. It's Football Friday, brought to you by Boyd's Royal Knight, right here on FM Talk 106.5. Right, 828 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Friday. As always, big thanks to you. Big thanks to our buddy Phil Savage at Football Fridays. We do it all season long. Hey, a great event started last night, but goes all weekend long, and that is the grand opening of Havana Rays. You know, our friends with Kind of Chill Package. This is the newest venture, and this is so very cool and needed in our area. Cigar lovers, y'all got your place now. Havana Rays Cigar Shop and Lounge has a marathon weekend for you. They opened up their big grand opening last night with their Gurkha cigar event, and that went fantastic, as well as the free Cuban cuisine. Thank you, Papa Ray. Great food tonight, 6 o'clock. Make sure you're there for the Maker's Mark tasting. That starts at 6, plus live music. Should I say it again? This is how you give a look into what's happening tonight that you'll get from nowhere else. Mm-hmm. So they have the Maker's Mark tasting and live music with Ryan Balthrop, who, Ryan is a talented musician, but he and I have our issues because he was my wife's first boyfriend way back when they were going together. I think that would be 7th or 8th grade. So Ryan and I, you know.
You are man enough to say that. That's very interesting.
Right, who's got her now, huh? Yeah, that's right.
Who put a ring on that
that's
finger?
Right, that's right. Havana Rays Cigar Shop also will have 20% off Z-Car products tonight, $4 mojitos, and continuous free giveaways and raffles all weekend long. Then tomorrow night, there's the Southern Prohibition Beer Tasting starting at 11 in the morning, going through 1 in the afternoon. Then there's your Tennessee angle, right? Mm-hmm. Jack Daniel's tasting at 6 p.m. for beer drinkers, $2 domestics, and free food all day. And yeah, they will have the game on. They've got 6 TVs in there, so you can watch the football games, and if you can drink your Tennessee whiskey or get your Alabama football victory cigar, however you roll, do that at Havana Rays tomorrow. And then on Sunday, $5 Bloody Marys and $3 Mimosas. Check it out. Havana Rays grand opening this weekend. 10% of all proceeds going to hurricane relief. Check them out, 2351 Airport Boulevard, online at HavanaRays.com, and we're coming right back.
Thanks, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
I am doing great. So you've brought this truck to my attention plenty of times, the new 2019 Sierra truck. And ever since I've looked at it online, I'm like, that is the truck for me. What a bad-looking truck.
Yeah, dude, I appreciate it. You know, YouTube is your friend if you're out there listening. Our website, McConnellAutomotive.com. Dalton, I think anybody that's driving, even a GMC, but a Chevy, but especially a Ford or a Dodge or a Tundra, I mean, you owe it to yourself. Come to McConnell, check it out. Because, Dalton, that rear tailgate alone is blowing people's minds. But the bottom line is it's bigger, it's more powerful, it's got more room than the Ford. It's just got all these features. And quite frankly, it is the baddest-looking truck on the road now. And we have the Denali version, the AT4 version, which is the new off-road version, and the regular two-wheel drive. And if you check those things out, we've also got these blowout 18-model deals that are over $12,000 off if you want the old-body style. And it's all happening right now at the dealership, Dalton, and we're having a lot of fun with it.
And really easy to check out your inventory online as well.
Absolutely, man. McConnellAutomotive.com. It's easy shopping, and we're the lowest hassle car dealership maybe on the planet. So even when you come by, you kind of get a real easy shopping experience. But that website is super cool, and the truck, you got to check it out. Just Google it and just look at the tailgate and check that thing out alone. In the front end of the truck is probably the meanest looking thing out there. So, you know, if you want to own the road, the new GMC Sierra is the way to do it.
That's for sure. Thanks, Mitch. Have a good one.
Thanks, Dalton. Have a great weekend.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 8:38, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. And a couple things on our list here. Our buddy Jeff Poore is in town. He'll be joining me for the midday show today because he was in town for the governor's fish fry last night. Governor Kay Ivey at Oak Hollow Farm had that. And I don't know if the governor's still in town, but this morning, here it is, I'm guessing this is the October surprise when it comes to the Walt Maddox campaign, and it's this. I'll read you the story as is, and then we can interpret and bounce around. And
because Jeff is becoming like the Swami, right, with the crystal ball,
and I like Swami.
I used to watch ESPN growing up too much, but the fact that he's predicting these things and time again, Jeff Poore is on the money.
Yep. So the Swami story, what we're talking about here, is this this effort to say, well. Okay, so the things you go after KIV on, right, that people have gone after KIV is not debating, which I don't know that you could not like that, but that doesn't mean you wouldn't vote for somebody. But the other one is an age thing, right? But how do you do, I'm going to say what nobody says, well, at least not most people in polite conversation. How do you go after, well, no, if you're the Walt Maddox campaign, and you think, okay, well, here's my angle. I'm going to go after the governor's age. But how do you do that without just saying that? Because if you just say that, then you're going to get some pushback on that. So here's what's come out. So Alabama gubernatorial challenger Walt Maddox asking Governor Kay Ivey to release more information on her 2015 hospitalization. Now, if y'all remember, this was, I think, out in Colorado.
Yes, that's right.
Including if her office told the state trooper accompanying her to keep it secret. Maddox said in a press conference yesterday, the issue is not Ivy's health. What? It's not Ivy's health. Do you know what that's a lot like when somebody tells you, no offense, but...
Right.
No disrespect. No, but. So Maddox said in the press conference yesterday, the issue is not Ivy's health, but whether there was a cover-up of what happened. Maddox said the voters need to know if Ivy can be trusted. So Governor Ivey disputing allegations by former law enforcement secretary Spencer Collier, Mobile County native, been on this show many times, obviously, way into the Governor Bentley story as we went through that, and still, I think, has a civil proceeding against the governor and others. Governor Ivey's disputing those allegations from Spencer Collier. Collier says the trooper said an Ivey staffer directed him not to tell his bosses about this, what they say is a mini stroke. Mm-hmm. Collier said Ivy asked to have the trooper reassigned. Collier says the trooper reported she had a mini stroke. Ivy says she had altitude sickness. Governor Ivy's campaign said Maddox is pushing, quote, last second lies, end quote, because he is trailing. Now, the fact that he is trailing in the polls, that is that's the one objective thing that we know right now, because that has been shown. I do, you know, I do like to point out the nuance of, I'm not talking about her age. I just want to know if there's a cover-up. You know, there's a way to, I'm not talking about this thing. I'm going to bring it up, because, but I'm going to talk about the cover-up.
In your thought process, you want black and white, not gray. And this is very gray.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray here.
Uh-huh.
Well, is that ageist? Are you being...
No.
When you say gray?
Oh, my God.
You being, when you say
no,
gray?
No, listen. You know, I am the probably one of the fairest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah, but you're just so mean about gray hair.
No, I'm not. And do you spell gray with an E or an A?
I spell with an A.
Okay, just asking.
But it depends. I mean, I guess if somebody's last name was Gray and it's E, although the Grays I know are A.
Jennifer Gray.
Is she A or E?
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Is she A or E?
She's E.
Okay, so then I would spell it E at that point. But other than that, if I'm saying the color gray,
I'm just asking.
I would with an A.
I think that no. Here's something. I don't know if you caught this last night with Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. Right? They're in this contentious battle, and it always makes me think about what's happening here as far as the debate, to debate or not to debate. Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz declined, so there's Beto with the entire stage having his way, answering questions. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to see that happen here. And, of course, the big crux of this situation is the lack of the debate.
I got to disagree. As a mercenary, in other words, somebody in the media, I absolutely want the debate.
I know.
Because I want to watch it. I want to air clips from it. I want to do, you know, this is what the show's about. I'll tell you what, when you hear so much push, I'm not saying people don't have it in their heart, but all media folks that would push for a debate will push for it because of the spectacle. And spectacle, not in a negative way, but the spectacle, right? And the a subject to focus on.
Because you want to hear from both sides.
Right. Well, as a citizen, you want to hear both. But as media folks, you want to hear both sides. But you also want, here's what so-and-so said. Here's what so-and-so said. What do y'all think?
Yeah,
I mean, that's that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But this, so there's an element of that. On top of it, though, there's an element, especially in some pockets of Alabama media, it's being used because they politically, and they say it, I mean, you could look at what they post on Twitter. They do not like Governor Ivey. They want Walt Maddox, and they think this will be the win for him. With where Governor Ivey is, she's got to play prevent defense, hold the ball, take a knee, and win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I want the debate for the spectacle. I'm a media person. I do want it. But I do understand what they're doing. Why would you risk it? I mean, some polls you're 18-20% ahead. Some polls it's 11 or 12%.
But what I was saying was the debate coupled with now this the health coming back into play.
Yeah.
It's all going toward that area of gray.
Yep. And just like we got into this big discussion yesterday, you know, I've talked about this with Cameron Smith and Brendan Kirby on the Midday Show, that one of the reasons I think we have become so uncivil in the discourse, this is in Washington, is that when the real subjects facing our country are complicated and nuanced, it is hard to make your case, fiscal policy, international policy, anything like that. It's hard to make your case in front of the American people before they'll tune you out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier to say, that person, at Donald Trump, you know, it's easier for Democrats instead of saying, well, we disagree, because they may actually not disagree that much with Donald Trump's policy.
Right.
So what you do is you demagogue him. Mm-hmm. You don't talk about, well, this is why this part of the policy is not good. You just say, well, he's a racist, or he's a, you know, he's a dummy, or he's going to, bomb somebody for sport or something like that, instead of arguing the points. Because you know what? The Republicans did it to Barack Obama, and the Democrats are doing it to Trump. And unfortunately, it's successful. And I think what happens is, y'all, we should all be offended by it, because instead of breaking down actual issues and points, it becomes a cult of personality battle. And that's what this will be. You understand that there's no question here about, well, this policy that the Ivey administration was doing is not as good as the Maddox administration would do for this or that. No, it is a, can we trust her? And I'm not saying she's old, but, gray.
See.
Which way do you spell gray?
I'm just ready for adults to act like adults. I don't care your party affiliation. The American people are exhausted.
Don't hold your breath. All right.
Especially when you go through a tunnel.
That's right. Coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Phone number 343-0106. 343-0106. 52, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, Friday style. Love this. And Dr. Bill gave the weekend a 1.8 something, something, something in the weekend weather scale. Pretty good. Little chance of showers, but other than that, nice and high on Sunday, just in the 70s. So feeling a little more like October. We've got Greek Fest going on. Started up yesterday and goes on through Saturday. Each day, when they open up the doors there, 11 o'clock? Yeah, it's 11 to 10 p.m. So 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And you can go get, not balaclava.
It's baklava. That's
something, the balaclava is something you put on your head. But baklava is something you put in your mouth.
See,
I've heard people say, ah, man, no, they're going to have those balaclavas. And I said, really? They're going to have like something to keep your head and ears warm and all this?
Are you serious? You've heard people say that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because there's a lot of the same letters. But yeah, the dessert baklava. But the,
I learned from Tony Hinn that some people use honey when they make their baklava, and others use other substances to
really
make that sweetness. I didn't know that there was a difference because I just wolfed them down.
Yeah, my only interaction with that is my mouth and eating them. Yeah, not preparing anything.
You've got Greek Fest, and then you also have Evergreen.
Conecuh. Well, yes. It's the Sausage Festival.
Yes.
16th annual.
Yes, sir. So, you know, I'm all about the food.
Yep, and you're talking about some good food to get on, that would be some Conecuh sausage. And then, yeah, you could do like an eating weekend. That's a good thing. Also, you got a little bit of football going on tomorrow, as we detailed, and a big game to be, the Alabama-Tennessee game. And, of course, you got Auburn football starting coverage at 10 tomorrow here, kick at 11. And then, of course, Alabama and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. And later. Then don't forget to pick your teams for the college.
All right.
Pick'em.
See, I've just given up trying to do it myself, so I'm using the quick pick.
This is a no judgment zone. The fact
that you're
doing
no,
it.
No, no on your side, on your it. Side, it's no judgment. Oh, I'm completely into judging. I've been quick picking my games, and I've come up a little bit in the rankings, so that's a little better. Speaking of quick pick, I know that, of course, none of y'all will be making the ride because, of course, Alabama doesn't have a lottery, and Alabama's protecting us from ourselves. But as I told somebody yesterday, I got in a conversation with it, and they said, are you, like, what is your thing? And I said, I really don't care. Like, I'm not a, like, if I'm somewhere and I'm going into the convenience store and they have lotto, will I buy a ticket? Yeah. Sure, sure.
But you're not going to make a special trip.
No, because it's a stupid tax, okay? The lottery is a stupid tax. I mean, will I buy it as the same way I'd buy a thing of Tic Tacs or some Mentos? Yes, I'll buy a lottery ticket, but I don't live my life around it. But I know no one here in Alabama would go to get their ticket, but just for those that...
But what if you won?
Yeah, well, if you won, tonight's Mega Millions, $970 million.
So there's a chance.
There is a chance. Saturday's Powerball, $430 million. Let me take you the other extreme. People say, well, somebody's got to win.
Why not you?
That's right. Somebody.
That's the slogan.
Hey, somebody is going to win. But tonight's Mega Millions, $970 million, so almost $1 billion.
Oh, my gosh.
Saturday's Powerball, a measly $430 million. So what are your odds of winning both and scoring a cool $1.4 billion? To doing the parlay, right? Winning them both. That would be 1 in 88 quadrillion. That would be 88 followed by 15 zeros.
Do you think that you would be mad to find out if a person who wins, they never ever have played a game and they just kind of sort of pick numbers, or would you be mad at a person who wins so much that here they go again, winning again?
I don't think either of them would bother me. But the person that just bought one ticket one time, I'd have the golly effect there.
Gomer pie.
That's right. But yeah, so if you won both, you'd have $1.4 billion combined. But by the way, you would be the first person ever to do that, I think. The Mega Millions odds are 1 in 302.6 million.
Wow.
Okay, that's for Mega Millions. So you got 1 in 302.6 million. Powerball odds are 1 in 292 million. And combined, your chance of winning them both, there's the 88 quadrillion. And just think, if you overcome those odds and win both jackpots, you'll still be worth $144 billion less than Jeff Bezos.
Oh, Bezos. With Yahoo?
Yeah. No, Amazon.
Amazon. Okay. I got my billionaires mixed up.
Listen, Sean. If you win, once again, y'all, if y'all win, you do this impossible thing, and you win the parlay of Mega Millions of Powerball.
Yes.
You got $1.4 billion then. Jeff Bezos has $144 billion more than you.
Dang.
Yeah, so there you go.
You want to know a fun fact? When I interned in Detroit at the NBC affiliate, WDIV, we were the lottery station, and
was that y'all's imaging?
No, but we...
Your newscast from your lotto station.
But they had the contraption all locked up in this caged area. It was really cool.
Is one that floats little balls up in there?
Okay,
that's pretty cool.
And so, but employees there could not play. because you were too close to the equipment.
Right.
I was an intern. I wasn't being paid.
Oh, well.
How about that?
You win?
Well, like $2.
There you go.
but I like knowing cool things like that.
I would like to be. I've seen a lot of things in the broadcast business over the decades. I have never actually been around the lotto ball floater machine.
I will get you a picture because my friend still works there.
I want to see that
it
in
is
action.
So cool.
By the way, too, for what it's worth, if you took the lump sum, let's say you won Mega Millions. Okay. You took the lump sum for Mega Millions, you're walking away with $548 million.
Ooh.
But, I mean, think about that. The lump sum. So the overall is $970 million. If you take the lump sum, you only get $548 million. That's it.
That's it.
You got to make do with that. Lump sum on the Powerball is $248 million.
Uh-huh.
And then you knock off 50% for taxes.
Oh, those.
Oh, yeah. The tax man cometh, right? 50% for taxes. So you take home just $398 million.
You know, it's tragic, though, all the stories that are attached to people who go from never having much to having all this, mm-hmm. this fame and fortune and not knowing what to do with it, and all the vultures who come out of, you know, the woodwork. And then these sad people, I mean, there's so many suicides and so much crime, and these mm-hmm. people lose all their money, and then they're back to square one. And mm-hmm. you're thinking, well, that wouldn't happen to me. I would handle my, you know, my finances appropriately. But that's something big. Before you play, have a game plan. Have a good financial person who's not your family.
Yeah, there's a lot better chance of me coming up with a financial plan than actually winning it. So, but you know, and I think it was Katie Hill over at Money-ish, and see if I can find the story, I'll link it up mm-hmm. on my Twitter feed, who did, they were doing a survey there, people that had won the lottery and their outlook on life or their, whether they were happy or not. And they looked at them, and for like a year after winning the lottery, they were all happy.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, like 90-something% went back to whatever, even if they had the money still, if they were happy, unhappy, whatever issues they had in their life, they went back to those same issues. Now, I say throw me in the briar patch because I could handle the issues a lot better with $348 million. I could be better at being unhappy and irritated with people in traffic if I'm doing it from a Bentley. You know?
Well, I would say I hit the jackpot August 5th, 2017.
You know.
I married my husband. Yay! Okay, I caught a blue marlin. What?
No,
what
are you?
I knew I could say it in Sylvanese.
Yes, y'all are too sweet. All right. Laura Ingraham Show on the way next. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Y'all have a great one.
You too.